going on, everybody? From the College of Professional and Continuing Education at Cal State Long Beach, I'm Dr. Pahol Sukhasikhan with Pacing Your Future, a podcast that charts the course of today's most exciting industries and the people that help shape them. Discover the many opportunities within the numerous fields we cover and be inspired by the stories of notable individuals who have paved their own paths. And just like our name suggests, our mission is to pace ahead, be proactive, adaptable, creative, and engaged. Whether you're seeking career insights, industry trends, or just simply inquisitive, let's pace your future together.
And today, we're joined by Willy Zuniga, who is a prominent figure in the biopharmaceutical industry, known for his role as the Emeritus President of Grifols Biologicals, LLC. Starting his career as a manufacturing technician in 1979, he advanced through the ranks while earning a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration from the Cal State University, Los Angeles. Under his leadership, Grifols Biologicals, LLC, has made significant strides in producing life-saving therapies from human plasma. Zuniga is also dedicated to community service, supporting educational and workforce development initiatives in Los Angeles. His contributions have earned him numerous accolades, including being named Cal State LA's Alumnus of the Year in 2022. Welcome to the show, Willy.
Thank you so much.
One of the first questions we have is, we just like to start off with fun. Imagine your industry is the main character in a blockbuster, because LA. What's the plot and who are its main characters?
I would have to say that that's going to be a medical mystery. And being true to my industry, I would say that it would focus around a five-year-old little boy who has rare diseases that cannot be diagnosed properly and a single mom trying to figure it out. His doctor, his immunologist, one of his neighbors down the street who works in a plasma protein manufacturing plant. And it's all about figuring out how to use the amazing drugs that are manufactured by Grifols.
Nice. So it's a heartfelt story full of intrigue, technology. Yeah, amazing. So to begin, can you tell us a little about your professional journey and what were some of the key challenges you faced along the way and how did you overcome them?
My journey started right out of high school. I was a pre-med major and found myself getting married at the age of 18 years old, definitely on the young side. And with that, 2 years later, as I had finished my sophomore year, my wife was pregnant with my first kid. And at that point in time, I ended up quitting school and saw my dream of saving lives pretty much disappear. With that, I was so fortunate that after my daughter was born, I was able to find a job at Alpha Therapeutic at the time. I had no idea what they did. I honestly didn't care. I just needed a paycheck. And I tell people that I wouldn't hire myself today. So with that, I started working as an entry-level manufacturing technician in the plasma protein industry. And what a stroke of luck that I started to work in a company whose primary mission was to save lives. So it was just ironic and very fortunate. So with that, I started entry-level and just wanted to do the best job I could at every step of the way, found myself getting promoted, went back to school, Cal State Los Angeles, which was located right across the street, literally. And I don't think I would have been able to do it otherwise. They also had 9 courses, which helped me tremendously. After 10 promotions in 20 years, I was asked to be the vice president of manufacturing. And then in 2003, we were acquired by Grifols, which is a family-owned business out of Barcelona, Spain. And that's when I was asked to be the president of their manufacturing operation.
It's amazing. You mentioned Grifols. Can you tell us a little bit about that company?
Yep. Grifols is, again, a family name. And the company started its operations in the 1940s, literally with a father and his 2 sons. So you talk about mom and pop, and now they have thousands of employees all over the globe. So it's quite a story in itself. What I appreciated most about Grifols is just their dedication to this industry, the plasmaprotein industry. I made some very good friends there, and I was happy to be an employee of Grifols for over 19 years.
Wow. So it sounds like their impact cannot be understated. Like, they do so much for the world and for people.
Absolutely.
Amazing. I read that you were raised in El Sereno, California. How did your upbringing in East LA influence your journey, both professionally and personally?
Well, I have to tell you, it was not easy. I grew up in a very tough neighborhood. I had a strong-willed parents, especially my mother, who made sure she pulled my ears and kept me on the right track. And I'm very, very fortunate for that. But I have to tell you, it makes you want to work harder. It gives you this desire and this fortitude to move forward. And I really, to this day, still believe that that was one of the keys to my success in this industry.
It sounds like you have such a rich background, and you've ascertained some personal values in your life that have kind of dictated the way you see the world, your work, your moral compass, perhaps. Can you tell us about your personal values and how they guide your decisions and your actions?
What I found is that I have this drive within myself of always wanting to do the best job possible, no matter what the task or the challenge. And I think that again, that was something that helped me grow. I also understand and very much appreciate the key role that other people help out with and help me with. So the importance of people has always been key. And it's something that from a very young age to my point of retirement and even today, I've always appreciated, acknowledged, and nurtured.
Can you go into, you mentioned the importance of people. Can you maybe go into that a little bit more?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Especially as I started to move up in the different levels of management, it became very evident very quickly that I could not do everything. I had absolutely no choice but to rely on others. Yeah. And the higher the level of management you went, the more you had to rely on the different levels of individuals that were working in the trenches, making the medicines in the middle of the night. I knew that I would only be as successful and as good as the people who were working with me. Not for me, with me, because that was very important, that I believe that these were my coworkers, my friends, and not my employees.
I think that's an important statement with you, right? The sense of collaboration and partnership and community. And similarly, a few podcasts ago, we had Vicky Brannick come on, and she talked about the importance of collaboration and how we need to work together. So I think that's quite the statement. Willie, thank you. And I think that leads us to the next question perfectly. How you've been actively involved in supporting educational workforce development initiatives in Los Angeles. Can you tell us more about some of the specific programs, initiatives you've supported and their impact on the community?
I can tell you how it started to begin with. Sure. So first off, as the president of Grifols Biologicals, I was extremely focused on hiring good quality individuals to enter our workforce at Grifols. So it was very focused and very selfish, if I may, because it was all about Grifols. There was a point in time where I was asked to be a member of the Workforce Investment Board in the city of Los Angeles. I found it quite an honor, and I said yes. And it was a good experience for me because it opened my eyes, and it brought me to the realization that yes, Grifols needs good employees, but just as importantly, individuals in the community needed good careers. For me, that was step one in wanting to get more involved in finding good careers for needy individuals. With that, it led to starting to work with community colleges throughout the county of LA, and also with Cal State Los Angeles, initially primarily, to develop programs that would allow people to be successful working in our industry.
I think that's something you said that resonated was, good people need good careers, right? And I think that's, there's just like so many people out there who, you know, are struggling and working hard. And I think that, you know, it's good for folks to hear that those at the higher up are, they see them, right? And that they want them to add more to the company. While there's plenty of talent out there, many people lack the knowledge of where to find and connect with opportunities. I think this goes back to what you said, good people need good careers. So what challenges in the workforce are people facing while recruiting people? And are there any strategies to overcome recruitment challenges?
I think the good news is that there is a very strong interest in the bioscience industry in the county of Los Angeles. So little by little, the word is getting out. So that's step one. Another thing that I found very interesting throughout my career is that when people think of plasma protein therapies or key medicines that can help others improve their quality of life, they really think about the scientist, the R&D scientist who's developing these amazing drugs. And then they jump straight to the pharmacists and the physician who are prescribing these drugs and the nurses who are injecting or giving out these medicines. But people don't think about the middle piece.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of a vacuum, but someone has to make these amazing drugs. Someone has to manufacture these. And there are manufacturing plants for these types of therapies literally throughout the globe. So not knowing about this industry for me, well, I saw that as one of my key challenges was to educate people about this middle piece, about these amazing opportunities that could be located pretty much down the street in some cases. And it was important for me to make sure that we got the word out also from that perspective. So now, fortunately, you'll find more and more training courses, more and more prep courses. And I want to make sure that people understand that there are positions throughout the educational degree process for this industry. This is not just about PhDs. Of course, we need that level of education also. But we have many entry-level jobs that require a high school diploma or perhaps a certificate from a community college, through bachelor's, through master's, through PhDs. So this industry literally is for everyone.
I think that's a key thing to touch upon. What you just said is that folks in this industry don't necessarily need an MA or a PhD, right? There has to be some kind of drive and will to want these jobs, and opportunities are boundless for folks. You mentioned entry level and like I said, not necessarily having a PhD or an MA. Could you talk about the specific skills that folks may need to advance in these various fields? And how do we ensure that we have the right talent then?
So companies such as Grifols were literally mandated by the different regulatory agencies to train every single individual. So what we find is that we can literally take someone pretty much off the street with a high school diploma, for example, and train them ourselves on how to perform every single procedure. And then they're tested and certified to make sure that they can do it well. So from that perspective, the training itself can be done at the company level. Therefore, we can bring in pretty much, again, anyone. The reality is, though, is that our preference is to hire individuals who already have a good basic understanding of science. And what it does is makes it much easier for us to get through that training process. But on the other side of the coin, to me personally, what's just as important, if not more, is the heart and desire to want to help people. And if I can hire individuals who want to do a good job for all of the right reasons, I know that they're going to be much better at it than others. They're going to do the right thing in the middle of the night to make sure that the quality of the product is pristine, because they're going to understand that that's going to be injected in some very ill individuals and will help them.
I want to go back to where we were discussing the collaborative nature in Grifols and in the work you do. How does such an approach speak to the collaborative nature of work, in your opinion?
So in regards to the community, there was a big emphasis on growing and hiring at one point in my career. And with that, that's when I started developing these relationships with the different educational establishments. So the first school I went to was Cal State LA. I literally, again, right across the street, I was an alum. And I said, wait a minute, there's over 20,000 students right across the street. I'm sure there must be one or two people that want to work for us. But as I started to speak to earlier, we needed to make sure they understood who we were, what these careers were like, so that I could attract them over. So I went and started developing a two-way relationship with the university, primarily with the social science department. And on one hand, it would allow me to go speak to their classrooms. I was kind of using the back door. And it was wonderful. I personally have probably spoken to students at different universities, I'd say at least 100 times, probably more. Oh. And it was great to be able to personally meet a lot of the potential candidates and employees. In return for doing that, we would provide tours of our company for different clubs. We would come and interview students on campus if needed. And we developed similar relationships with many other schools in the area. I started at the community college level with Los Angeles Trade Tech. And it was amazing. There was many students there who were just thirsty for this information. Also, I came to the realization when I first started working with them, for example, when we talk about two-way streets, a lot of financially challenged individuals with textbooks to purchase, one book in particular was, you know, over $100. At that point, I said, let's help some more. And we ended up purchasing all those textbooks for quite a few years for all of those students.
Wow. Your journey and both your career and professionally and personally, it's very people-focused. And you're quite the personable man, Willie. Can you share some of the notable stories of everyday individuals who began and thrived in their careers in their respective fields?
I like to tell the story of one student in particular. I say student because she was going to school while working part-time. I met her literally by coincidence, as I would drive to lunch to a small sandwich shop, and she was one of the servers there. Her name's Monica, and still friends as of today. And we just started chatting. We got to know each other a little better. Initially, she had no idea what industry I work in or the fact that I was the president of the company. Yet saying that, she was always very courteous, very professional. We got along great. And as we got to know each other, one day she came up to me and said, she said, Willie, I wanted to ask you a question. I was hoping you could maybe help me because I just graduated from Cal State LA as a science major, and I'm having difficulty finding a job. And the irony was that, again, as the president of the company, she had no idea who she was asking for help. And 2 weeks later, she was an employee at Grifols. So these type of things where you want to go out and help and you're always presenting your best self no matter what, because you never know who you're speaking to. That's just one example of how we help get someone in the industry.
I think something that you keep bringing up and circling back to is Cal State. And as a product of Cal State, you know, I want to know, how has the CSU system impacted your life? And how do you see it providing educational and career opportunities for diverse and underserved populations?
When I made a decision to return to school in order to get my bachelor's degree, there was no question in my mind where I was going to be attending. A couple of things that I had to take into account, of course. One is I was a full-time employee. Two is I was raising a family. Three, I was still very financially challenged.
And I am so appreciative of this university that helped me out, basically. What I found with Cal State LA is that they had a lot of interest in serving the community. The cost was more reasonable. They had night classes, which for me was the only way I could attend. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, there weren't a lot of online options as there are today. So it was just so convenient, and I was so appreciative that they were able to take care of me and provide me that opportunity. And I tell you, when I finally finished that last class, after 5.5 years of night school, going in as a junior, it was one of the happiest days of my life.
Our journeys are very different, but, you know, I still recall, like, just finally seeing the end of my college tenure and just clenching my fist and be like, yeah. So I totally understand.
Yeah, I was ecstatic, extremely happy, but I also I'll be honest, I was also exhausted.
Yeah.
Burnt out was probably is a very good word. And I literally didn't walk, didn't graduate on stage because I had enough. Mail me my diploma, please. Truthfully, it's a decision that I regretted later, years later. And when I started going back on campus to recruit and to help and to be a good team member with the university in Grifols, I just felt it burning even more. Darn. And I was so fortunate that the year I retired, I was asked by Cal State LA if I would be interested in submitting my name for an honorary doctorate degree, which I got, amazing enough, from the School of Business. And the irony is that I was able to walk on stage, and that was a great feeling.
It was always time to return and circle back to things that we feel that are slipped through our grasp, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So one of the things that I wanted to bring up was the idea of being first gen. Because we're on Cal State Long Beach, we have over 50% of our students who identify as first generation. What professional advice would you give them, Willie?
I would say that, one, you need to stay diligent. You need to understand that this journey may not be easy. Life will happen. So there'll be obstacles, there'll be roadblocks. It's never going to be quite a straight line from point A to point B. So knowing that, I think it's important for first-gen individuals in particular just to be flexible, and that you should always have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. Because if something does get in the way, life is not over. You need to continue. And for me, that was definitely the case. And it was wonderful that things fell into place and I was still able to work on my number one goal when I first started, which was to save lives and help improve the quality of life. And I did that for 40-something years.
A great story, right? Long and accomplished and perseverance, right? How can universities, policymakers, or other businesses better support first-generation college students to ensure their academic and professional successes?
First off, as a company in a larger organization, it's crucial to me to make sure that the company provides financial assistance to its employees to continue their education. It's something that I was able to take advantage of decades ago, and it's something that I'm very proud that Grifols continues to do to this day, because you just cannot ignore that financial aspect of an education. It's a must. We don't have any options. So that is huge, and I think one way of supporting individuals. The other thing that the from the university side is, again, something I was able to take advantage of, which is flexible school schedules, options, online courses, evening, weekends. There's so many more universities now that are serving the working individual, and I think that that's a wonderful thing.
You talk about supporting the individual and also having flexibility, and going back to this thread that we have throughout this conversation of community and collaboration, as someone who is in a C-suite position or who had a major hand in helping others find their way, what do you see as the role of mentorship and community programs playing in enhancing opportunities for first-generation college students?
When I was in high school and getting ready to start applying for college and starting my second half of my life or the next part of my life, truthfully speaking, there were not too many people that I could go and speak to, you know, about help, about the application process. Yes, there were some counselors in our high schools, but they were so busy serving hundreds that it was never just a person that I can actually say, hey, can you help me with this? And I found that, well, to this day, when I look back, you know, that's was a huge disadvantage for youth at the time. And I think now it's so important. And to me personally, I go out of my way today to mentor and help as many individuals as I can, passing it forward, doing my part. But just as important, if not more, something I truly enjoy. And if I can help someone, what a wonderful feeling. What a wonderful feeling. And I've mentored many, many, many individuals personally over the years. And many times would have someone come up to me and say, Willie, how can I ever thank you? And I wouldn't hesitate. I would answer by telling them, it's easy. Someday you're going to be in a position where you can do the same thing. You'll be able to help someone. You'll remember what we did, and that's thanks enough.
I like the idea of paying it forward. Something that I like to live by, or an adage I like to live by, is we lift as we climb. And, you know, I think that it's important to realize that once we have opportunities, how do we extend those opportunities to the community that we came from, right? Or see if you see folks needing a little assistance or a little push to offer it to them. Right, because sometimes it's hard to break into certain industries or whatnot. And on that note, do you have any advice, Willie, for students, how to break into this industry or any industry? Do they have to be a part of a certain field? And what advice would you offer students to maximize their chances of successfully entering a specific field, further wanting to make a difference?
I think on the obvious side, if I may, you know, understanding that industry, understanding that company that you're applying for is huge. It's huge. You know, you got to do your homework in that regard. But this goes way beyond that for me because, again, are you showing your best self every single day? Are you speaking with actions? Are you growing your network? Are you making good friends who, again, will help and support you throughout your growth? And, you know, many, many type of things like that, I think, are huge and crucial. And you know, don't be afraid to ask for help also. That's why your friends are there.
Yeah. I think that, you know, a lot of the times we think about the personal, right? And we think about how do we better ourselves and to promote ourselves to be the best version of ourselves. But sometimes these things are beyond our control. We're thinking about the future of work, thinking about the state of the economy and different things, aspects like that. In addition to building a strong network and building yourself, what are some perspectives on the future of work in your industry? And how can individuals and organizations best prepare for these upcoming changes?
Again, when we look at the bioscience field in itself, as I mentioned earlier, we're extremely fortunate that in Los Angeles County, there's a huge growth period approaching us already here, where more companies are growing, more companies are coming to Los Angeles, more companies are starting in Los Angeles, and that affords many more opportunities for the future. Mm. So one is just becoming knowledgeable of what's out there, what type of companies, what type of roles, doing your homework in that regard. So that'll be important. But we just have an amazing opportunity. Many of these careers are just amazing in these fields. And again, saying that, it really comes with an obligation if you truly want to enter this field. And that obligation is, again, wanting to help people and wanting to better their lives. It's something that you need to take to heart.
That's such a hopeful note, right? I have one more question. And I think that, you know, this idea of there's optimism in everything that you've been talking about, right? And, you know, how do we help one another? Collaboration, mentorship, and thinking about your vibrant and very multifaceted background and life, Willie. Something I wanted to end on is, can you give advice to someone who wanted to follow in a similar career path?
I would have to say that one of the things that has helped me, two things that have helped me grow the most over these last, well, not last, quite a few decades at this point. One is just never forgetting where I started, you know, in that challenging community, in that entry-level role where my first job was mopping floors in the plant, things that just helped, honestly speaking, when you look back, helped me grow, because when you don't forget where you start, it helps you manage the operation better. It helps you take care of those people. You're not asking them to do things that you didn't do yourself. And for me, that's always helped me grow. The second thing that I've emphasized already earlier in this chat is just working well with others. Well, it was such a nice feeling, you know, as I was growing, especially those first 20 years where I was literally moving into a different role every 2 years or so. My coworkers, my friends, it was like if they were lifting me up every time and cheering me on. And, you know, the confidence that came with that and the opportunities that opened up and my reputation because of that was wonderful. One thing you don't want to forget once you start working in a certain company is that your reputation is your resume. And those actions are going to speak for those future opportunities.
I think that's an excellent place to end. I think that, you know, our actions speak for who we are. And sometimes people forget that, right? And it's always a good reminder to tell ourselves that, you know, we are our work. We are a walking advertisement for ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining us, Willie. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for allowing me to share. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to Pacing Your Future. We hope today's installment has inspired you and provided valuable insights into the dynamic world of industry and innovation. Stay tuned with us for more stories, opportunities, and expert advice to help you navigate and shape your future. Until next time, keep pacing your future with confidence and curiosity.